we're talking to Denise here. Denise, so when you went down for that appointment with the endocrinologist, you feel she didn't really even look at your notes. At that point, was it that person that says that you were cured?
Yes, she informed that I was cured.
Right, so then what would be the purpose then of the radiotherapy? Is that part of the process or was there a change in your assessment or what?
No, I was told I needed this treatment from my first, when I was first diagnosed. Mm. And, this treatment is only recommended to higher risk patients. And you have a higher risk of recurrence when it's spread to the lymph nodes.
Yeah.
So I had quite a lot of lymph nodes that was cancerous.
But outside of your bloods, have they done any other scans or checks on you to check? And we pray to God that it hasn't gone anywhere else. But after they removed the lymph nodes, have you had any scans or anything other than the bloods to determine which is something that you would need done, you'd want done, sorry?
Yeah, no, I had no scans done. The radioactive iodine, you get a full body scan when you're getting treatment, and that's to check to see if it is anywhere else in the body.
Yeah.
So you get an iodine scan, full body scan done. So they're expecting me to wait a full year from my first surgery.
But you know yourself and you know how you're feeling. And I can only imagine how you're feeling mentally, because no one could deal with this stress or this unknown or uncertainty or questions and not affect them, Denise. But is your gut telling you that you really would prefer if they would take this situation more seriously, that they'd have further looks or at least get on with the treatment that's that you have coming to you?
Yes, I've been told by numerous sources that I should have had my treatment by now. Mm. And it's normally done within 3 to 4 months after your surgery.
Mm-hmm.
I'm expected to wait now till October. I had a phone consultation with a doctor, and he told me that I would have to wait 6 weeks or before for getting my treatment,
mm-hmm.
and that would have made it to July. And then I never heard anything back and was ringing numerous times, and eventually after a week I got through, and then she was saying that it would be September before I'm seen to get treatment.
But did she explain why it's okay in your case for this gap? Like, did you say, well, hold on, it's almost a year since I had the operation. Why is it taking so long for this treatment that others seem to be getting in 3 or 4 months? Did they offer you any explanation as to why you don't seem to be a priority?
No, she just says that the referral wasn't sent in until May.
Right.
From the endocrinologist. So I think the fault lies there with the endocrinologist.
So you don't know if you're falling.
I've just been neglected.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah.
I'm not comparing my cancer diagnosis to anyone else's, but I have noticed this pattern when I reached out to other thyroid cancer patients. Some people I've spoke to that, have family that work in the medical sector, and they seem to be getting their treatment in a reasonable time compared to mine. And, my question is it all about who you know?
Okay, well, listen, let's just outline the case as it is for those who may have just tuned in. Denise had thyroid lobectomy, isn't it? Done last year.
Thyroid lobectomy. Yeah.
Lobectomy on the 17th of October, 2022. Results then in November. Yeah. Diagnosed with papillary thyroid cancer, was told she'd need further surgeries and treatment because the cancer had spread to lymph nodes, had second surgery, which was a full thyroidectomy and neck dissection done on the 3rd of January this year, over 30 lymph nodes removed, half of those were cancerous. It's 7 months now since the surgery. no radiotherapy treatment, and you're being told that maybe September, maybe October, and you're just wondering, are you being neglected? Have you fallen through the gaps? You were told, and also being told that you're cured, which throwing all yeah. that in the mix, and you're not feeling the best either, and you want medical care, you want to know, you want to be checked and yeah. know where you're at, so you know, well, have I more to do, or can I actually get on with my life? I mean, I presume that's the situation you're in. You're in a living hell, like yeah. a purgatory.
Yeah, like I can't plan to have any more children for at least a year after radioactive iodine. Mm. Just feeling my life is on hold.
And we're worried about your own personal health as well. I'm sure, no doubt
yeah,
about that.
Yeah.
Okay. I understand exactly where you're coming from and why you might pose the questions as to why are you sitting waiting whilst others seem to be fast tracked or at least getting their treatment on time. And you're looking for any advice, any idea how this could be pushed on. It took a week to get through to someone who gave you any information at all. So we're going to throw it out to our great listeners, Denise, and see what they say, see if they believe it to be typical, if they were in the same situation, how they sped it up, what the story is, and we'll see if we get any useful advice for you.
Yeah, that's great.
All right. I'm sorry you're going through all of this. I really am.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Leave it with us. We'll see. Hopefully something that might be able to give you some a lift or some hope. Denise, thank you for that. All right, 086 60 25000, WhatsApps and texts. If you can offer any insight or advice, give us a call either on 07491 25000. Wellness Wednesday is it's a broad church, you know. Music is I'm sure there's a saying that's really positive about music for the soul or something. It just won't come to me at the moment. But anyway, so we're talking in the context of music and how you can benefit yourself by going into Letterkenny, because Letterkenny Chamber are hosting a busking festival. It's this Saturday, and it's been going for a while now. Jimmy Stafford of Letterkenny Chamber, and also, sorry, I should say, Carol Wilson, who's going to be singing for shortly as well. Yeah, Jimmy, talk to us about the history of the busking festival.
Yeah, Greg, a few years now we've been going. Obviously, we stopped it during COVID, but we had it going before that, and it was it came up. It started off small at the start, and then it just grew arms and legs. And like last year, we had near 35 to 40 entries on the main street in Letterkenny. So the concept was, I suppose, it's in conjunction with Shop LK, and that's the initiative. It's around the local, the main street around Letterkenny, and promoting that. But equally, I think it's more than that, Greg. It's about musicians. And, you know, I was talking to Carl outside. It's, you know, when you look at the different genre, the different age groups that came out last year and years before, like from as young as 10 years of age up to any age, really, it's open to any. And the beauty about it, it was just so many, as you went around the main street, so many variety of musicians, but just not musicians, performers as well. And there were some actors there doing different things. There's a guy, I don't know, Kyle, he was a dancer and doing dance and music. So it's all about just, and I suppose you said it there about music, it's a great thing. And, you know, when we saw in the last few years some young people who came out who'd never performed in public before, and they were there with their parents, and just to be able to come out and sing and dance in front of people. And it was great, you know, last year, even the crowds that came out to support the individuals, and you saw different acts. Had, you know, Carl was there with Sinead as well, their duet, and they were performing. And just see people would gather around for 5 minutes, listen to their music.
It's different types of people at different stages of their careers and different experience with performing publicly. It's a mixed bag, isn't it?
Absolutely. And it's, you know yourself, it's really difficult to perform in public, whether behind a mic or whatever, or come on radio and talk to yourself or for anybody. But when to come up on a main street on a Saturday at 1:30 and to sing in front of people you've never sung in front of before or never sung in public before, it's a massive. So firstly, I'd give kudos to everybody who comes out on Saturday. We've over 35 entries so far in for this Saturday, and just well done firstly for everybody putting their name in, and just to enjoy the afternoon and enjoy the experience as well. And I think for me, you know, we had a band on Monday Night Sessions last Monday called Expedition, Greg. They're a rock band, and they started on the Busking Festival 4 years ago. That was their first public outing, and from there, where they've grown to now, and they were even said it Monday night, that gave them the confidence to say, you know, we can actually do this. Mm. We can go perform in public. Because when I look at, they were I can still remember, they were performing outside Kieran Boyle, the Taylor's place down the middle, and the crowd they had gathered around them, these were real heavy rock band, and just to see these lads where they've come. So, you know, it can release something from you, and it can just say, you know, God, I can do this, and I can. And Carol's an example of that as well, an experienced musician.
That's what I was going to say. For experienced, established musicians, you know, it's a different audience, it's a different experience as well, isn't it? You know,
I'm not like an experienced, established musician at all. Though myself and Janine kind of both separately came into kind of performing music only in the last 2 years. So although we're a bit older, but we're only kind of coming into it in the last 2 years. We've been writing for about 7 or 8 years, both of us. But yeah, so yeah, it was a great opportunity. And I think the fact that, like, because Sinead had mentioned, oh, we should busk sometime just to try and get that, you know, confidence in performing. And I was like, oh yeah, but that alone kind of seems scary. But the fact that it's a busking festival, so you've got like loads of people all together, you know, busking together. And it just made it seem so much easier to do, you know.
How many songs are you singing for us? One or two?
I think one, isn't it?
Yeah. Is it one? Yeah. Should we do that now and then talk more?
She might have a second one in the pocket now.
What's this, Carol?
So this is a song called Summertime that I wrote a couple of years ago and have been developing ever since. And it's going to be released next Friday.
Brilliant.
So, yeah. Hopefully we'll bring back the sun with the song as well.
Let's try it. Topical, you know,
talked
about bringing the sunshine, you might as well bring the trains while you're at it as well. Does my memory serve me correctly? Did we have an early incarnation of that song up in Rathmullen from
last summer?
Was that last summer?
Yeah.
Wow, it feels like ages.
You have a great memory.
I think it was the end of August, yeah.
I can remember certain things that are useful for this program.
Yeah.
My PIN number, no chance. Fingerprints on phones was just the greatest evolution ever for me. But it sounds wonderful. What would you call that style of music, Carol? It's sort of like storytelling.
I do a lot of storytelling, yeah. It's a bit of a mix of folk and contemporary, and I do a bit of blues sometimes as well, and quite poppy songs.
Are you going to try and think of what you could play to take us out of this segment?
I'm going to think about it,
Okay. Jimmy, is there, like, it's great to see busking like this, but is there a history of busking in Letterkenny? Do you know, if you get down to Galway, you'll see, you know, people randomly busking and all that type of stuff.
I don't really think so, Greg. No. You know, I mean, since
hopefully the whatever the evolution of the new Market Square might be, that it will offer space for, you know, like, it's great to see organised, but, you know, sort of organic street performing.
And I've seen it, there's a few spots around Letterkenny, you'd see one or two musicians, and I've said to a few musicians out there, why don't you come outside X spot on a Saturday? And you know what? You'll make a few bob as well, because I've seen it, and a few people have done it. So you'd love to see more of it, you know. And I think part of it is I know myself, like, I go back to giving credit to musicians who do come out and perform, be it in public. And I know Carol is doing a special thing on a Friday night in Rathmullen, which is really good. And it's another platform like Club Bio in West Donegal that gives musicians an opportunity who've never performed before. So, look, I'd love to see more of it. I think you, as you said, you walk down Ship Street in Galway, whatever, and you see them out, and you could just.
And if it interests you, you stand and watch. If it doesn't interest you, you just walk past. It's, you know, it's just. And you don't bat an eyelid, it's just there. You know, so talk people through the experience. Obviously, it adds something to people who are already going into Letterkenny on Saturday. Lots of people do. The main street will be really busy, but others might want to go in specifically. A lot of people want to go in specifically to hear the music. So is it in different locations throughout the town?
Yeah, so I think
do you suggest people start at the top of the town and walk the way down?
Exactly, that's what I would
meander
suggest.
Meander up and down or whatever.
So I met Anna Louise and Tony yesterday, so we'll put out the pitches by Saturday, so we'll have a plan around the 35 acts, so they'll go. So my suggestion is you start up the top and you work your way down and a zigzag across, and you'll see individuals and you'll see groups and whatever, and then, you know, you kind of make it. And then we have the judges, obviously, as well, who will be, there's a couple of secret judges, but also profile people who will be judges and tell them they're judges. And I think the other thing, Greg, and this is that, you know, it's €1,000 in cash prizes, so it'll be split 500, you know, to and down to five or six prizes, right, which is 500 for first prize, which good. And then we do the prize giving about half three, quarter four in Blake's, back of Blake's Bar. He's built a stage there, so it's just again, you know, gives the all the musicians come together, and it's but, you know, as we always say, everyone's a winner, and it's hard when you do pick somebody who's won, but, you know, everybody who's performed. And then you'd often see they all collect a few bob as well on the day. So I'm going around sometimes, and I say to somebody who's just new, put out your suitcase or your guitar case, open it up, and
you know, now in Galway, you put out your card.
That's
machine.
Right, your tap and go. Yeah, that's right.
and Dublin as well, of
tap
course.
And go. It's so it's go, yeah. But you know, you were going back about Wellness Wednesday and music and what it does for the soul, and you know from the radio here and the show, it's phenomenal. Some of the stuff you come across, and you know, even on Monday night last, some of the bands, and you've had them in here, like, it was just incredible. We had Mick Blake, who's from Letterkenny, and he's a prolific singer songwriter, writes for Christy Moore, and just to hear Mick's stories, he's a teacher, but about his writing and what he writes on and all that sort of, like, it's a new world for me completely, just to understand how Carl and Sinead and them do it, you know.
What's Sinead's surname again? Because we keep mentioning Sinead Gallagher. As if, and it is quite a popular name.
Yeah.
Sinead Gallagher, that's right. Sinead was with you up in Rathmullen last year as well, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was, yeah. And she's doing the Frida Fridays as well in Rathmullen with me every week.
Excellent.
Well.
Talk to plug that while we're here.
Yeah. So it's every Friday in Rathmullen, and it's a night of wine and tapas and music. And it's free in, and you don't have to order tapas or wine or whatever. You can just be there. But you know,
what
I think most people are.
What kind of stuff can you order?
It's lovely.
It's just
a mixture, and it changes every week. So
like spicy meats and stuff, no? Or is it fish? Or
I'm starving. I know she was doing some, you know, because we call it Frida Friday, so there's a Mexican element there. So she does a bit of Mexican food most times as well. So
tortilla wraps.
Yeah, there was some. I don't know. I didn't get to try it every time. It looked very pretty, very colourful and pretty, and everyone was saying it tasted lovely. So the night starts at 7.
Just do deliveries within 25 minutes.
And we come on then about 7:30. And
sounds like a really nice, cool, chilled evening.
It's such a lovely night, and we really enjoyed ourselves. Because then, like that, then there's a part where we invite people up to sing. And so far, like, we've had loads of people up. There was one night we had to go, right, okay, me and Sinead have to come on and finish our set.
Do something.
And if a musician wants to get involved, can they?
Exactly, that's what I was about to say. We've got special guests as well. So we've already had a few special guests, and we've got more next weekend. But if anybody wants to come on as a special guest, any local singer-songwriters or from even further afield, just get in touch, yeah.
Great. You don't know where you're going to be on Saturday yet. Those pitches yet. Are all being organised. And is there any other, can people still sign up for it, or if you've got your...
Yeah, we have about 35, and I suppose normally at this stage, that's what you have, really. There's probably one or two sometimes turn up in the day or whatever, but I mean, that's you know, they've all...
And the bottom line is, you walk down the street, you're going to be blown away by something. Now, it just depends on what what you love, you know, what kind of stuff. But generally speaking, people will be blown away by one of the acts that just appeals to their musical senses.
Because everybody is different, as you know, everybody has different tastes, Greg, and something that I might like might not appeal to somebody else. So that's always going to be the way. Yeah. But I think the key one, it starts at 1:30, finishes about 3:15 that way. Just encourage people. I mean, it's just giving support to the people who are out doing it, and that's the key one. And look, there's a bit of prize money in it, but I think for me, it's about taking part. That's the real big thing, and it's something that, you know.
Well, for me, it's about the money.
Well, yeah, sorry. Well, I'm talking about, but
it's
you
a
know,
big appeal.
For the music, yeah, for you, but no, for me, like, for, no, it's all about the money. The music, I'd be in it to win it.
Yeah.
Well, a couple of the acts.
What are you, Carl? Yeah.
We were trying.
Fight to the death.
We came runner up, but we were trying.
Fight to the death at the back of Blake's. Is that it?
But I remember 2 years or last year and the previous years we were doing the prize giving, and I remember as the band. So there was a group of four, another group, and the lads were over counting the money that they'd collected in the case. It was gas, and I went over and says, "How much did you collect there, lads?" Oh, couldn't believe what they had collected. And along with this group, actually, had come second as well. So all of a sudden, they combined the whole lot. They were like, they just had won the lottery in their eyes, you know. So it was great. So
right, Carol, the pressure is on. Are you going to do one more for us?
Try a wee one. Try a wee cover.
Whilst we're here. What's this one going to be?
Simply the Best.
Oh.
Excellent. I have heard a couple of acoustic-y type versions of this. I like
have
it.
Have you?
Yeah.
Have you?
But
no
not yours.
Then. Yeah.
Well, listen, come here.
I've loads to compare to now, Carol. You better be good.
No, it's not like that. I'm a nice person.
You when I need you, when my heart's on fire. You come to me wild and wired. You come to me, give me everything I need. Give me a lifetime of promises and a world full of. Speak a language of love like you know what it means. I can't be wrong. Take my heart and make it stronger. You're simply the best. Better than all the rest. Better. Hard to see the start of every night and every day. In your arms I get lost, I get washed away. Just as long as I'm here in your arms, I could be in no better place. You're simply the best. You're simply the best, better than all the rest,
Lovely Carol. That sounded absolutely great. It really did. Great song, that, isn't it?
Yeah,
it really
it's
is.
Class, isn't it?
Okay. Right. The Letterkenny Busking Festival is on Saturday from 1:30 till 3. Prize giving in the back of Billick's Bar at what time?
Half three.
Yeah, Carol, so we wish you and Sinead the best of luck.
Thank you.
And you'll enjoy it anyway. I think you've made that quite clear.
Thanks, Greg, for your support as well.
And the weather's going to play ball, hopefully, as well. That's what I'm saying anyway. And I'm going to stick to it, but I believe it to be the case. Right, Jimmy Stafford of Letterkenny Chamber and, of course, Highland Radio and singer Carol Wilson. Back with more after the break.
Business Matters, in association with the ATU Donegal Faculty of Business. If you have an undergrad in any discipline and would like to reinforce it with a Master's in Business, ATU are offering their Master's in Business Management Conversion Programme. Call 9186206 or email donald.hannigan@atu.ie.
Okay, 25 to 12, time for Business Matters, previewing the Highland Radio Business Matters podcast and running through some of the news in the company of, which is a phrase I absolutely hate because everyone in radio uses it, but anyway, there you go. Kieran O'Donnell. Hi, Kieran.
Good morning, Greg.
Thanks for your company.
How are you?
Thanks for keeping me company.
No problem.
Thanks for letting me keep you company.
Yeah, anyway, before I was going on there, Karen was going through the, obviously, the run order, but when I come in, I just got a wee tick.
So what was the tick for?
It's like my bag of school present.
Well, it's not often. Well, there are some people that you're quite friendly with that you don't know if they're going to turn up or not on a Monday just after 11 o'clock, not mentioning any names. He may be in studio. He may pop into Zoom. You just don't know. So she got nervous. Listen, we mentioned this at the start of the week, Kieran, of course, but it's such big news, it would be remiss for it not to make this item.
That's why I included it, Greg. Yeah, Letterkenny Shopping Centre has been sold as part of a €74 million deal for a six-mile portfolio across the country. So a Davie State Real Estate Management Fund completed the acquisition of what is a vast portfolio, and it also includes Letterkenny Complex. It opened in 1985, Greg, as 40 units, and as we discussed earlier in the week, it was the start of a major shift in terms of retail and that area of business in Letterkenny and Donegal.
Yeah, all right. Now, the deadline for the Chamber Awards was extended, but it still looms.
Correct. Yeah, it was to take, the deadline was set for Friday week. They've extended until this Friday, July the 28th at 12 noon. The award ceremony is taking place this year in the Clonmany Hotel on Friday, November the 10th. So you have a couple of days to get your nominations, and so it's going to be a busy time for the Chamber after that.
Yeah, for sure. Looking forward to all of that as it builds in excitement even further. Right, talk to us about this ambitious Ambition Accelerator course.
Yeah, the closing date for Donegal Local Enterprise Office's Ambition Accelerator course is this Monday, July the 31st at 12 midnight. Greg, this course offers it's looking for innovative new business ideas among the Northwest female entrepreneurs, and those who are successful will receive support to develop their business idea from concept to pitch. So say the big work is getting selected, and once you're selected, there'll be a massive amount of help behind you.
Yeah, for sure indeed. Okay, yard sale. I like this. This is one of the things I was meant to mention. I couldn't find it in my messages, Kieran, and I said I'd give it a mention, so I'm delighted we're doing it so now. Fair play to you.
Letterkenny Cathedral Quarter will hold a yard sale on Saturday, that's July the 29th, at the Arch, and that is across from the Universal Bookstore on Church Lane. It's about a third of the way up if you're coming from the bottom of the Church Lane on the right-hand side. So according to the Cathedral Quarter, there will be lots of good quality items and home baking for sale, and you can check out the Cathedral Quarter's social media platforms for more. So another step forward for the life of the Church Lane, which, as we have talked about in the past, has been restored to its former glory and looking really well.
Yeah, Ryanair's profits really taking off, Kieran.
Yeah, I thought you might have went for the up and down times at Ryanair, Greg, but you didn't.
Well, you did, you see, so I was trying to do something else.
Ryanair has announced profits of €663 million for the first 3 months to June. Sorry, for 3 months to June, but as warning of falling winter demand. And according to the figures that were released this week, Ryanair fares increased 42% on average, and that's €49. So it's a low base when you look at it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And passenger traffic grew 11% compared to last year. So up and down times, I suppose you could say, you know.
Yes, indeed. Turbulent times. Okay, we're crap at this, so let's move on.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the inside of a Ryanair plane in far too long.
Me and you.
I know, okay. But at least you have the money to do so. I'm skint. Right, let's talk about this weekend's podcast, Kieran. This week's podcast.
Yeah, on this week's show, Greg, I'm joined by local estate agent Louis Boyce and the quality manager with Donegal ETB's Further Education and Training Services, Deirdre McColgan. A native of Kerrygert with a strong background in retail, Louis set up a property agency with Dennis Factor in Letterkenny around 20 years ago, and then he left the company in 2014 and spent the next 3 years in London. Louis went back into the property business 3 years ago when he set up Louis Boyce Estate Agents, and during our conversation on Monday, Greg, I asked Louis what was the best lesson he'd learned so far in business.
It's just be yourself, like, you know. You know, you have to have knowledge of what you're doing, like, you know, you have to be able to make people feel that you're confident in you, like, you know, and that they're make them comfortable and know what you're doing, like, you know, that's all.
And trust, obviously, is a big part, because by and large, it's the biggest investment any person or couple will make.
That's it. You have to spend time with your customer, like, and talk to them and let them know, like, where the market is, like, your comparables, like, and you've sold this, and, like, and the more you sell, the more success breeds success, like, you know. So once you know the market and you're a customer, and you've always got customers looking for it, like, as I say, once you price it right, you'll sell it, like, you know.
All right, that was the first guest on this week's podcast. Now, that's Louis, isn't it? Yeah, that's Louis, of course. Your next guest?
Yeah, I also spoke to Deirdre McColgan, Greg, who is Quality Manager with Donegal ETB's Further Education and Training Service, about the tertiary degrees that were announced recently by Minister Harris. I know she was on the programme last week yourself as well. And during our chat, I asked her who specifically should consider applying for a place on one of the new programmes.
When we've been doing our information evenings, Kieran, we've been kind of saying, look, it's for any age, any stage. Really, we're talking about 17 years and above. So it doesn't matter to us if you're 17 or 77. If you felt that higher education or a degree was something that you would have liked to explore, something that you feel that you could have, you know, got or achieved at another time in your life, then come back and give us a go. What have you got to lose? If you're just leaving school and maybe the leaving cert didn't go the way that you want and you're just concerned about that leaving cert race and you feel, oh God, maybe I'm not going to get there, then this could be another option for you to consider.
Yeah, and Deirdre's done a great job in getting the point across that this is something really, it's a big deal, this, for education in the Northwest, and it's a big deal for giving people an opportunity to go into third level and to end up with really great qualifications and potentially real great employment opportunities.
Yeah, I think the line that stood out, Greg, during that clip and during the conversation was any age, any stage. Mm. I suppose the only thing I thought is breaking through that barrier that's been there for so long, Greg, for people that they thought, you know, they didn't get the opportunity, the timing wasn't right, things just didn't work out for them. Whereas now, this thing is away from CEO points, away from the race. And to be fair to Donegal ETB, that there's a massive amount of work done to get it to this stage, because it's actually joining up higher education with further education. And the whole thing is talking to employers to sort of see where the growth areas are, and it's matching what employers want with what graduates have to offer.
Yeah.
And obviously the collaboration with Donegal ETB and Donegal ETU is a massive factor in this as well. And the fruits of that relationship now are being seen.
Brilliant stuff. Okay, full interviews with both Louis Boyce and Deirdre McColgan are available on our website right now. Kieran has them posted, highlandradio.com. Rip then to Spotify or iTunes so you can stream it or download it and listen at your leisure. And then, of course, people choose to listen to it scheduled on the radio live.
Yeah, Sunday evening, Greg, after the 6 o'clock news.
And if anyone wants to get in contact with the show, ask any questions, suggest some content or whatever it might be, or need to get in contact with you, Kieran, how do they do so?
Yeah, just simply send me an email, please, Greg, businessmatters@highlandradio.com.
Kieran O'Donnell, thank you so much, as always.
Good morning, Greg.
Us the Business News Weekly, but also look forward to that podcast. All right, we are joined on the programme now by Karen O'Loughlin, who's Division Organiser with SIPDU. Good morning to you. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us this morning.
Good morning, Greg.
Right. Retained firefighters, we've learned now, they feel they have no choice but to resume their strike action in dispute over pay and conditions. So where are we at? After the last strikes were announced or deferred, there was a labour court or some sort of mediation there. proposals were made. Can you talk to us a little bit about what was put on the table and why it's unacceptable?
Okay, so as you would know, we suspended the proposed strike action the last time to, I suppose, facilitate these talks or to allow for these talks. So the Labour Court did issue a recommendation. It deals with numbers employed. It deals with small movement on the retainer, but it doesn't deal with the other bigger ticket issue, which is the recruitment issue and the issue of structured pay, because most of what the firefighter earns would fall into the heading of precarious pay. So all you know that you have is the small retainer, and everything else then you get paid per call out, but you never know how many call outs you're going to get, so you never know actually how much you're going to earn or what your wages are going to be. And the Labour Court recommendation didn't deal with any of that.
Yeah, listen, I've spoke to retained firefighters that lost their jobs because the manager could no longer deal with the flexibility that's required. Others go into self-employment. Others just have to rely on this money. They can't move. They can't get mortgages. They can't get loans. There's very, very little certainty there. And I think it's sort of seen as some sort of a vocation. And I think that's being exploited. 24%, 32.7% seems like a significant increase to the retainer, but that's coming from a very low base. It's not enough.
Yeah, that's right. So a high percentage of a small amount of money doesn't amount to much, you know. And the promise from the minister to advocate for people in the public service pay talks is laudable, but you can't pay your rent or you can't pay your car loan with a promise. You actually need cash. So more needs to be done around the pay piece. If they're going to, they have committed to hiring another 400 retained firefighters, but you're just not going to get those 400 unless you can do something about pay certainty and levels of pay within the service.
And I mean, firefighters themselves in this strike action are looking to the future of this service. And we saw recently with the floods in East Donegal, there's been other major events, fires and what have you, where obviously these people get the call and they're expected to respond. But I mean, firefighters are of the community as well. And they're saying, look, if things continue the way it is, there is not going to be a retained fire service.
That's right. And in some stations, they're as low as 50% of appropriate crewing levels. And the pressure on those firefighters is enormous because they're turning out to events with less than the safe level of crews. They have to wait for other stations to mobilise before they can leave to attend. And this is all increasing the danger to the public, by the way, putting more pressure on firefighters and really switching off the recruitment tap. People do not want to join the service under those circumstances.
In the event of strikes taking place, you know, there has been a period of time between the last action and this current action. One of the criticisms the first time around was the lack of contingency measures in place to cover this action. So there's been 9 weeks for, I suppose, there's two responsible parties here, local authorities and government. And there is some concern that not enough, if anything, has been done to put in contingency measures. Does that talk to really maybe a lack of respect for the job that these people do, or perhaps that they feel they won't go any further in their action?
Well, I think it's a head in the sand situation as well. It's very difficult to have a dispute within essential services because people are so committed to the job that they don't want to leave people stranded. They want to make sure that there's cover there. Now, we have offered cover. Our members are on standby. They'll come off the picket line if there's a life threat issue or a serious incident. They'll come off the picket line for that. But we ran into trouble with getting the management to agree the structures around how that deployment would be managed. So they seem to have just abandoned the firefighters and said, you know what, we're just going to try and carry on as normal. The Dáil has gone on their holidays. The ministers seem to have just be ignoring the situation as well. So it does speak to a lack of respect, and it certainly speaks to a complete failure to understand the type of job that these men and women are doing 24/7.
So what action is taking place now? How will it look? What will it look like? When is it happening? How long will it run for?
Well, the pickets are up since this morning and it's an indefinite strike. So it will continue until we get a resolution that the firefighters can live with. Now, you know, we live in the real world too. And we know that if a resolution is to come, Rome wasn't built in a day, that there are two steps to this process. We need something immediate on the pay and recruitment to deal with the current issue, and that will give us the space then to deal with the more structural issues around the rebuilding of the service and what the future retained service will look like. So we need the space to do that, but resolving this dispute will enable that discussion.
I'm sorry to pull this rabbit out of the hat again, but this action's not really affecting the population centres, the likes of Dublin, Cork, Galway, etc. Is that a problem? Is it that maybe the decision makers aren't getting it in their ear in their from their constituents, that this is a country problem?
It's not affecting those major urban centres because they have a full-time service. And yes, the retained service can't be treated like the poor relation. It needs to get the attention and the respect it deserves, because retained firefighters have to have exactly the same qualifications, exactly the same training as their full-time counterparts, and they attend exactly the same incidences. I mean, the fire is not any less hot or any less dangerous because you're a retained person. And I can tell you, if I was in a road traffic accident and they were cutting me out of the car, looking at the person and wondering, are you retained or are you full-time, is not the first thought in my head. So, so yes, it is a problem with the retained service being treated like the poor relation.
Right, OK. Thanks for your time. That's Karen O'Loughlin, division organiser with SIP2. Retain firefighters have resumed their strike, if you've a view on that. Or maybe you are one of those retained firefighters on the picket line and you want to maybe express it from your perspective. I have spoken to some in the past who've expressed a concern that maybe the message isn't being related as it fully is. I don't mean that with any disrespect to anyone in SIP2, by the way, just saying that's what some are saying. So if you feel that it needs to be articulated, and Karen did fantastic, by the way, in a different way, then let us know, 086 60 25,000. I don't want you listening to the show and feeling frustrated and going, well, you didn't get it, Greg. I hope I did. But if you feel that I didn't, please get in touch with us and help us get the message out. Just hearing the comment of Air putting up prices during the contract, they did the same on us, but as we are outside the town, we can only get Air or Vodafone. We just move from one to the other each year. It's crazy. Left Air in mid-May this year and just got another bill from last week. If you're on broadband, I don't understand how your location affects what you can get. If you're on fibre broadband, well then, you any provider uses, they all use the same infrastructure. So Air, Vodafone, Sky and all the other players in the game, they all use the same wires. That's when people say, is the service reliable? Generally speaking, it's all the same. It can change a little bit then when it comes down to customer care and what have you. But I don't understand why you're limited. If it's fibre broadband, I don't understand why you're limited to Air or Vodafone. Or maybe you're in Syro, maybe that's it, is it? I don't know. Educate us here. I attend the endocrinology department, had to go private at huge personal cost. I recommend the lady go to her GP and have them push her case with the endocrinologist. Indeed, I'd say a lot of GP letters, though, and end up with consultants. They send an awful lot of them. Denise, please ensure you see an endocrinologist who specialises in thyroid, as many specialise in diabetes. Okay, that's some advice that's coming in for that listener. I disagree with Christmas craft fair in Swan Park. We had French markets in the car park behind the library, Broncrana, years ago. Lovely location near town. What's wrong with that location? I'm disappointed with the lack of focus with our councillors. The only amenity Broncrana has is a bottle bank. Can they not speed up with construction measures to help the town go forward instead of thinking of Christmas markets? It's great. Town for traffic passing through, that's about it, says this listener. Okay, but listen, in defence, there's some amazing plans for Broncrana in the offing at the moment, and we shouldn't be waiting that long for them. They are being progressed, so hopefully that will come to pass. But, I mean, also, too, the setting of Swan Park might lend itself really well to a Christmas craft fair, but I understand that you're saying it should be located where the French markets once were. Instead of broadband contract, we use SIM card router and SIM card with unlimited data from GOMO at $14.99 a month. It's a 30-day contract, same as 48 or Clear Mobile Networks. It runs my Netflix, Disney Plus, etc. Netflix, sorry. We have a couple of shops in Ballybuffet and Letterkenny. I don't want to mention the shops, and the routers are flying out the door all the time. That is an option. It certainly is. It doesn't work everywhere. I had to go down that route myself for some time. If you're into gaming and stuff, the ping can be quite high, which can be problematic. And also, too, even though you might be getting high speeds, as soon as there's two or three devices on it, it can really sort of start bogging it down. But listen, a SIM card and a router is an option for some people. There's no doubt about that. Greg, the health system in Ireland is a two-tier healthcare. The big people and the wee people, believes a listener there. Gregory shouldn't be telling people to break a contract without knowing the terms of said contract. What a foolish thing to do. Well, you see, my point is, my learned friend, is that if you are with in a contract and they change the terms of the contract, who's broken it? I said, check the contract. Check to see, has that contract been broken? It is they, the other party in the contract, that raised their prices twice, right? If that's not contained within the contract, that sounds like a breach of contract to me. So I am telling our listener to explore what options are available to them. But thank you very much for the reprimand. Weather is done by air temperature, Greg, not ground temperature. That's a fact. Indeed, I was on about how it was measured, i.e. not in your car. Maybe I did say it was ground temperature. I mean, obviously, it's closer to the ground in the shade. Hi, Greg. As a member of the LGBTQ plus community, by the way, Michaela's going to have to come in because I don't have an ad before 12, just so she knows. Hi, Greg. As a member of the LGBTQ plus community, I really respect the other listeners regarding awareness in our schools and communities. Inclusivity is so very vital today more than ever. The new Aldi Barbie advertising, including both boys and girls, is so forward-thinking and an exceptional example of a forward-thinking company. Robert in Donegal commented on this online last week and received some very inappropriate comments by a mother of two, which shocked me. We've a long way to go. Indeed, I haven't seen the doll that you talk of. A lot of conversation on the Barbie movie, which, like everything nowadays, has been pulled into the culture wars, is one of the only real ways you can describe it. Greg, we've fibre broadband and recently got in triple glazing windows, and it really has caused an issue with the quality of the service we have, and people have said it would be down to the windows. Has anyone else had this issue, and how did they resolve it? That's a peculiar one. I can't understand how your windows could affect your broadband, because your broadband comes in through a hole in the wall and then is dispersed throughout the building. You know, there's brick walls and everything. That doesn't, listen, that doesn't make any sense to me. That's all I can say. But that doesn't mean it is not the case. Far be it from me to disagree there. All right.